Hello everyone and welcome to this edition of the PlayPod, Playboards Northern Ireland's podcast. I'm Maeve McLaughlin, one of Playboards Play Participation Officers, and today I am thrilled to be joined by two of the finest youth workers in Belfast,
Bill Gyle
and Stephen Hughes.
It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting us and all.
Thanks for...
I'll talk about play work and all your work.
Well, thank you for inviting me down to your lovely new refurb
youth
centre.
Isn't it? Yep, it's looking well.
Podcast studio. Mm-hmm. We have another one coming to West Belfast in the next 24 months, maybe.
Well,
a nice refurb.
Fingers crossed.
Well, hopefully, if the DE can get us up the lane a wee bit, Well, hopefully we're imminent.
Sort of. And the Youth at Play project that Playboard has been working on for the past 4 years is ceasing on the 31st of March. And as two people who have been massive advocates for the project, one as a participant and a manager, and one as a team leader for North and East Belfast, we would just want to chat to you about how you have seen the project, where you see play in the youth service, and what impact the project has had on your young people. Mm-hmm. But first, before we get into anything, what was play like?
We'll do an icebreaker here.
Go and get me four things. What was play like for you, Stephen, growing up as little seven-year-old Stephen Hughes?
Oh, God.
Now you're going back. 20 years ago, just?
Yeah. 50 years back.
50 years.
Yeah, Jesus. So you're sort of thinking, do you know, we had a lot of outdoor play, a lot of street games. Do you know, we would have played kick the tin and cut the cabbage. And do you know all these?
Cut the cabbage?
Cut the cabbage was a running game, yeah.
Right, right.
So it was, you used to cross hands and then someone... Someone broke the hand, and you had to run the whole length of the street, up the entries, and back round. Whoever won. Yeah.
Cut the cabbage.
But in terms of play, it was superb. Uh-huh. Like there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. Do you know, every lamppost had swing
round at the tire.
You know, and like we would have been up. Glen Kern wouldn't have been there like in them days, but we would have been up there. Fishing. There used to be a wee river there. We had a pond fishing. And do you know, we'd have went up and camped on the hill without parents or without, do you know, and it was
freedom.
It was a different time, and it was there was definitely a different risk, do you know, compared to today. Even though I suppose that the conflict sort of kicked off then. We that was at the height of the conflict, but it was a time of good memories. Of friendship and laughter and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I think kids miss that today. Mm-hmm. I think that the increase of the gaming nation,
mobile phones
and all those things now, and you sort of go, kids are really missing out on play in a huge way. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a responsibility on youth service to enable that. As well as seeing it as a developmental opportunity, there's also the fun end of it. The kids, I think, are missing out on, and it's awful. It's really sad for them, you know. And especially kids that are in the inner city. I think rural communities are a wee bit different, but not that I have any experience. But I'm thinking it must be different in the rural communities than what it is in the inner city. Do you know, because they need to get out of the city.
More space to explore a lot of places.
So much, many more dangers. Absolutely.
I think of the kids in Lower Falls, they tend to keep themselves in that community. Do you know, they don't explore.
We had the issue around here. The kids just didn't want to go outside of the streets, the boundary streets. You know what I mean? They made fun, whatever they get up to in them streets, you know, they get up to. But they didn't want to explore outside.
I think the one good thing that EA done, I don't think it was last year, I think it was the year before, they gave the money for the camping equipment. Oh,
the summer boost.
That was really good. Mm-hmm. And I think our kids have enjoyed exploring, down to Meadmore and down to the Mourns and stuff like that. I think they've got the benefit out of that.
Mm-hmm. Bushcraft skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out and about.
I suppose that's a question I have. Mm-hmm. There's a shortage of skilled workers that way as well, isn't there?
Aye.
How to survive.
They're all a bit older, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's not the younger generation maybe coming through who are skilled in all that stuff. Bushcraft and outdoors and all that. Well, certainly not right near a city.
No, it's definitely not.
Do you know what I mean?
And when you have it on your doorstep in the Mourns, you have every opportunity.
Yeah.
There's not much.
KFL. Excuse the kids.
Absolutely.
KFL spot on, though.
I had kids at the weekend come in and borrowed tents and the mats and the sleeping bags to the camp out in the back garden at the weekend.
Aye.
You know, even that, I think that's great. You know?
Better than nothing, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what about 7-year-old Phil? What was he doing running around?
Exploring pits and abandoned houses and playing football and the Alexander Park, walking up. I remember walking up the park, getting your rally boots on, or walking up through the river, right up through the river. And it used to be eels. I don't know why, it'd be small eels, collecting eels and spricks and all that sort of stuff.
Frogs
and all sorts of, just getting stinking.
Just
getting dirty and your hands dirty, and then the lights coming on in the street and going home getting your dinner and not even getting your hands washed.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Shoveling it.
And you didn't think of it. You didn't think you were, the stuff you get up to now, if you've seen kids doing it, you'd be like, oh, it's a wee bit risky. You know what I mean? Just running. I remember taking big dives off a hill and rolling, doing like a commando roll, and the hell was like after her. Oh, we're just jumping off a hill.
Rolling into all sorts of dogs, doo-doo and all sorts. But yeah,
Packville bonfire.
Part of life.
Yeah, but nowadays everything's we're so risk averse. Like we just don't allow our kids.
Health and safety boundaries. Mad.
Yeah,
Packville bonfires in and out of the old houses, ripping doors and all off and all that sort of stuff, and it's good fun though, as you say.
It was. I think kids are missing that.
Yeah,
I think kids miss that today.
Yeah, maybe not breaking into old houses and stuff like, but definitely jumping off hills and walking through rivers and stuff.
We'll not say too much. And then you became youth workers. A lot of process before that. Before we went into, so we have Phil works for the Education Authority, and Stephen, you're in St Peter's Immaculata in West Belfast. So two very different views. So we have voluntary and statutory.
Not that different now, come on. lower.
Just overarching bodies, yes, absolutely. Got, the heart is still there.
We agree more than we disagree with.
The heart is still there.
Yes.
But where do you see the importance of play in the youth work curriculum?
Mm-hmm.
It's essential.
Mm-hmm.
But play, we can't get away. I think the problem with, play is often devalued. And I think there's a couple of reasons for it. I think we're not specific enough about the curriculum. We're not specific enough about what the learning outcomes need to be for the young people.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely a skills deficit in play. Do you know, that course that we done was definitely very, very helpful for our staff team and then the benefits for the young people. Because we're redoing our whole our junior curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, although we're adding some medical and oral health programs, and other programs, but everything's done now through play.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and I think we were trying to do with our junior club
mm-hmm.
what we do with our senior club,
uh-huh.
and we needed to catch ourselves uh-huh. on. Uh-huh. Do you know, and thankfully we did. Mm-hmm. But I think if we're talking about early intervention, mm-hmm. and we need I know youth services going more and more towards the key transition periods, mm-hmm. but We need to be, mm-hmm. although we're supposed to be 9 to 18 mm-hmm. as our priority age bands, but I think we need to go back a wee bit.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to 6 and start taking them earlier, mm-hmm. because I think the early intervention's absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
And play is the key methodology. Do you know, it's the thing that we, mm-hmm. and the kids love. Like, we've started doing stupid things.
Yeah.
Like hut building.
Aye.
We went over and got a load of cardboard boxes out of
Tesco's.
No, Tesco's. Even over mm-hmm. right at their, did you know they have the binding for the cardboard boxes? Mm-hmm. We took a couple of packets of them and done hut building workshops.
Brilliant.
And then they paint them. But the kids,
we're talking about mental health and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you can't play fantastic for that stuff for improving young people's mental health.
Yeah.
And even if you're showing, if you're having a bad day, pick something up, get a bit of your recycling or get some paints out, and you're showing them coping mechanisms for later life. And I agree with that early intervention stuff, it's essential. I mean, you can't get away from it, especially kids in working class areas who the home life is, you know, it is what it is, and they need a wee bit of a relief, or they need a bit of let a bit of steam off or all that. I mean, and you need it 100%.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that we found really interesting, especially with the hut building, we break them up into teams and they all have to build their own way. Mm. But they actually sit in the huts. And they were sitting, because Trisha and Jared, a couple of hours of our staff would all make toast or whatever, they'll have that night, cereal or whatever. And they bring it in, they sit in the huts. We laugh it off as something trivial. But they've taken ownership over it, there's responsibility for maintaining it and decorating it and all that sort of stuff. And there's a bit of creative and aesthetic in there as well. But it's also the socialisation that's going on in that little hut or whatever you want to call it. We had the same experience as kids. You know, we built huts around the bonfires and stuff like that there. And we all sat, and there was that camaraderie and the sense of association, the sense of belonging. All those key things.
You always get the wee one that's the leader. Right, you get that now. That sort of stuff.
And it's a little window in their day where they kind of lose themselves off the struggles of school and whatever's going on at home and the busyness of exams, no matter what age they are, where they can be kids, where they can just be themselves.
Here, I think one of the funny bits for us, so we have these peer leaders, these young leaders who are coming through, they're as involved as what the kids are. And they get a wee bit of competitiveness between them all. But watching them and enjoy play.
And being creative about it.
40, 15, 16, 17-year-olds playing is, you know, it's definitely...
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah. It's definitely not the norm now, where it really needs to be. Do you know, they should be allowed to be kids. I think all too often we try and drive them to become mature adults far before they're ready.
And social media is pushing them to be this and that and the other, dressed a certain way. Absolutely. Just have a bit of fun. Unless you'd be a space where they can do that without somebody pointing at them and saying, oh, what are you doing playing with that? Or what are you doing?
Well, there was a bit of that.
You know what I mean?
Well, there was a bit of that at the start.
It does happen.
But like some of our tougher wee nuts, you know, the wee toxic masculinity sort of kicks in. And then, but see, once they got into the play, you've seen them becoming who they really are. Do you know, and that sort of image, that barrier that they put up.
And once them guys get involved in it, it gives permission to the rest of them.
100%.
Definitely.
And that's what it comes down to. It's
but I think that the early intervention stuff, I think we're getting further and further away from. And we need to catch ourselves on a wee bit and see the value in that. And then I think there's probably I think how we rate up our sessions has changed a wee bit.
Okay.
So it is. And then how we report on them has changed a wee bit because I think the staff are definitely beginning to look at what are the outcomes of play. Do you know? And I think there's probably a piece of work in it for all of us that goes, right, what does that hopefully a 6 to 11-year-old or 6 to 10-year-old curriculum look like? Not just, like, we have the space curriculum, but how do we, what's the methodology we're putting beside that?
Sure.
Do you know what methods are we using to secure those outcomes? And then it's about the staff reporting on them. How they rate it up is critical.
I like the circle of courage to report back on because, that camaraderie is definitely the belonging, there's independence, all that, and the generosity of sharing the play stuff and all that, so we've been sort of using that in a sense with our youth of play programs to report back on. And mostly it's our young leaders and younger youth workers that have been delivering those programs. So it's starting them to connect the dots with the circle of courage and all that sort of stuff. And it's made it easier for them because we use like the wheel with all the different aspects of circle of courage, and they're ticking it and writing it a wee report on. Oh, that was belonging tonight. You know, all that sort of stuff. And a wee bit of a it comes on.
And using a strength-based approach.
Strength-based approaches
is really, to me, is you're getting better outcomes.
Well,
I suppose that maybe it's a question because I, on my own reflection, that peer approach. Do you find it works or works better or works less?
Young leaders, sort of. I think it works on a couple of different levels. For one, I think there's more energetic in some of the older leaders, do you know what I mean? So there's a wee bit more energy, a wee bit more creativity. But I think what works for those peer leaders as well, because it's not devaluing play. I think it's something that they can connect to. It's not about a discussion group where they have to know different issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's playing, it's active and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it encourages them. It's like stepping stones for them. Mm-hmm. And it's the first sort of level of their experience of delivering a group. But they still have to organise and plan and report back on. But the actual delivery of it's a wee bit more simplistic and fun for them. And so it makes it enjoyable. I mean, in terms of the actual delivery and benefits for the young people, I think they just have more energy and they're a bit more creative and they're a wee bit more positive about mm-hmm. about and enthusiastic about delivering it. So surely that reflects down and seeps into the young people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the other thing for me is that the managing risk.
Mm.
Do you know what? It's always run. No horseplay. Don't be wrestling. That WWE that they're all running about, jumping on HR and all that sort of stuff. We would never allow Tig. And now we're organising it. And to be fair, the kids absolutely love it. But you can do it if you manage the risks. And I think that's
That's been a big flip for me. I like that stuff too. I think that's been really beneficial and a learning for us. Where, you know what, it's not all unsafe. And do you know what, see if it is, it's all right. Yeah. They're allowed to fall down and bang your elbow. And, do you know what I mean? It's fine. Yeah. It's part of growing up. It's jumping off the hills and walking through rivers in a safe environment, really. Do you know what I mean? But I know, I agree with you.
I think that's definitely changed for us. We'll take more risks or we'll manage the risks better.
Manage the risks.
It's probably more important. Mm-hmm. And allowing kids to run around and play hide and seek and play tig. Do you know, it's really, that's important.
Absolutely.
Because I remember a time it would be, right, stop running. You're not allowed to. You know what I mean? Because you were scared of falling and hurt themselves. But
realistically, before this course, I think that's maybe what has been important. Mm-hmm. Probably the single most important element of that course has been we can do the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Yeah. Because I remember before the course, if they're running around the club, I'm squealing at the top of my voice. Stop running about! Somebody's going to get hurt. You're going to trip up. Blah, blah. Now what we do is we push everything out of the road.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, we build places where they can hide and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you know, and you just get around it. You organise it better.
Yeah.
I think that's risk and reward.
Yeah.
That's it.
Our job here is done. Happy days.
Yeah. But it's not.
Sail off into the sunset.
And I think the problem is in this, the problem for me is that not enough people are getting this training.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I think this is maybe, it's probably a conference. Do you know, it's probably where we all need to come together. And I think, and it's not just discussion and it's not just workshop and training. We could plan the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
We could devise a new curriculum around, around space.
Mm-hmm.
But, we could share what we've learned.
Yep.
I think there's a great opportunity in this.
Mm-hmm. A nice little segue into my next question. What do you see the importance, or what do you see as the importance of a play programme like Youth at Play in the Youth Work Curriculum? Where does that sit? So you're saying a conference, and we've had our EA Shared Learning event back in November. We have our Embed and Play in Youth Settings.
Yep.
Where does that sit for the rest of the youth settings across the region?
I remember sort of starting to learn about this use of play and all this play work and whatever, and I was really interested from the very start. Now, as a manager of the centres, I had to sell it. Do you know what I mean? I had to sort of be enthusiastic about it and convince people that it's not just about play and art and whatever, but the benefits for young people. So for me, I seen the importance of it from the get go, but trying to sort of embed that within the other centre manager. It's not been difficult. It's took a wee while, and I'd not say we're totally there.
Mm-hmm.
We're about maybe 60-70%.
Okay.
There's still a wee way to go. But it's a huge, for years you'd hear youth workers saying the best conversations, the best youth work happens around when you're sitting, playing with young people. All that informal setting stuff. And for me, this was a way of professionalizing it a wee bit. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So for me, it's hugely important. It has to be. And we need to build on it, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And I remember we were in a meeting once, Phil,
mm-hmm.
and you said that ultimately play is the grassroots of youth work.
Yeah.
It's the foundation of which youth work was built upon. Mm-hmm. And it's putting that value back in. And this project mm-hmm. was never about play work versus youth work. It was about how the two can complement one another.
But play work is youth work.
Play work is youth work.
It's just a different, it's age appropriate. And it's a skilled methodology. Do you mm-hmm. know, you just can't
bail like, in.
You just can't bail in and think that you're a skilled youth worker.
Yeah.
Do you know, you've got to learn different techniques. You've got to learn
Absolutely.
Different systems. Do you know, you've got to do. Mm-hmm. It's the same with play. Play is no different. Mm-hmm. But I think society, we've become a more legalized society. Do you mm-hmm. know, everything's claims and everything's risk and everything's like we became crazy on risk mm-hmm. at one stage.
Right.
And I think.
Not so long ago.
Yeah.
Not so long ago.
Yeah, and,
slowly coming out of it, like, but
it's dangerous. It's mm-hmm. dangerous to the field. It's dangerous to the profession.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And I think we're beginning to better understand risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then that will loosen up our ability to be innovative and creative.
Okay.
Do you know? And I think play's perfectly placed as a methodology to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think maybe we think about play and we think of it in little ones. We think of it in the 5 to 11-year-olds.
Yep.
But it's not. We're using play. Mm-hmm. We're using play with parents.
Mm-hmm. Right across the board.
Do you know? And it's been really, really successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not investing enough in the philosophical debate. We're not investing enough in the skills.
Mm-hmm.
We're not investing enough in the techniques
mm-hmm.
being used. And then I think there's a question for central government and how they invest in that and make it better, improve it.
Yeah.
Do you know, because I think play's went off the radar for mm-hmm. far too many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were doing play before, we were doing group work and we had outcomes and
yeah.
you know what I mean? It was play. We brought them into the youth club and we played this and that and the other. And then we started doing groups and we started talking about outcomes and blah, 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 blah. But, you know,
but it's
play work's always been there. But in a sense, you've professionalised it and we're trying to push it on and the skills need developed and the training needs to be delivered more. It needs to be recognised a bit better, I suppose,
to
take it forward, you know.
I think there's something, Phil, in terms of our philosophical
mm-hmm.
conversation, because I think when we do a play session, we're clear about what the learning objectives are for that session, whether it be teamwork or whether it be communication or whatever the key learning objective is for that session.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to get better at articulating that in our writing
mm-hmm.
and then being able to evidence that
mm-hmm.
in terms of where the kids have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we just need to tie it down a wee bit differently.
Because talking about years about youth workers trying to articulate what youth work is, and I think mm-hmm. we're getting there. Like we're but when we come to play, maybe we're not as good as saying what the outcomes are for young people. I think it's still a wee bit of a struggle.
I think we overcomplicate it sometimes.
Ah, 100%.
Yeah, instead of just keeping it like. It's
simplified.
Being empathetic
Or
being a good friend.
Learning how to
be personal. Yeah. Those really simple characteristics that are age appropriate.
100%.
So it is. So, yeah. I think it's an essential part of youth work.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to hear. last question. It's a double question. What impact has the Youth at Play program had on you as a practitioner?
Mm-hmm.
And you as a person?
A practitioner in person? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about, I've told this story before, and it's getting recorded. I'll tell you about a practitioner who works in the Hammer Youth Centre. You know who I'm talking about.
Without mentioning
his name. I'll let him hear this and he'll be loving. He's getting me shy. But the guy, I mean, it's every youth centre has him. The radiator mm-hmm. huggers. Then, you know, just a wee bit lost within the centre. Done the play work, level 3, and you thought, just give the guy a whole new lease of life. I was actually down doing moderation a couple of weeks ago in the Hammer, and I looked down in the Mayor Hall, and he's these boxes set up with all this string, and it was like, like the lasers? It was like an obstacle course, and he had the kids. Now, the kids made it themselves, but climbing through the obstacle course, and he just brought the resources on himself.
Brilliant.
And looking through, He has program booklets done with reflections and all this sort of stuff. And it's just been a whole new lease of life for him. And because he can, in terms of group work and discussion stuff, he's not really great at it. Do you know what I mean? But that stuff, fantastic. His brain just thinks differently.
That's his forte.
You know, that's just definitely his forte. Yeah. So for, and I can give you a couple of other examples. Not as good as that one, like, but there's other examples of people just finding their niche and they're really loving it and buying into it and running with it. So practitioner wise, it's been fantastic. Yeah. Don't know about me as a person. Let me come back to my helmet.
Okay.
Well, let's stay with talking
about it. For me as a person, I've always seen the value in play.
Yeah.
I was involved with Playboard 20 years ago.
Right.
When Mark Langhammer was chair. And I always knew the value of play and I always knew what it was worth. I think personally, I sort of left it behind because of the risk adversity that was growing in the sector. I think I maybe lost interest personally, which is a sad reflection on myself probably. But it was definitely I had lost the mojo to further invest in it. And thankfully, when you came along, that re-stimulated my own interest in it and for me to see the value in it again. But professionally, I have a very similar story to what you say, Phil, about one of my staff who is there a long time and it re-stimulated him. And I think there is, as a manager, you have to say, you're a great, good group worker. You're a great supervisor. You're
it's
a great
spokesman
play
way,
worker.
Isn't it? You need
100%.
Them all. You need them all.
And
you can't all
I definitely have that, and it's re-stimulated my staff team.
Yeah.
Do you know, because like you go into our place now and you go, what's going on in here? Like sometimes I would hate for the senior management team to walk in during our juniors and look and go, what are these people doing? Do you know? And you can see them running around and plaster cast masks are fellers coming out of their heads. Or, do you know, like, it's stupid stuff, but it has real value.
It's brilliant, though. Yeah. It's great.
For our kids. So I suppose, personally and professionally, it's been good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it has. And I think, more importantly and most importantly, it's been good for our young people. Because it has reinvigorated the centre, the junior section of the centre.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? But it's also enlightened some of our senior members, our young leaders that we're trying to invest in for coming forward, because now they see themselves as having a clear, because they don't see themselves having a role in group work and stuff like that, but they see themselves clearly having a role, like they can do things there, they absolutely can be creative and innovative, like throwing water boots, what's that about?
But
trying to get the water boot into the circle is a skill.
Absolutely.
But it was competitive, it was fun, the communication was good, the teams working together. Like, really simple outcomes out of a water boot and a bit of chalk.
I agree with you. It's them steps, them young leaders and peer leaders, and you're trying to train them up. Yes, be a group worker, fantastic. But it's a big jump, do you know what I mean, to go in and start, you know, discussing issues and topics and delivering a session. Whereas if you put that play work in the middle, it's not so big. They still have to organise and all those different skills come out of it. And it's definitely a natural sort of step. So, well, we've the same. We've our Y-Work programme.
Yep.
We put our Y-Workers through the play. Do we do a level one with Y-Work?
Yeah.
And they do their 6-week placement in a centre. So they were out delivering wee play work sessions with their placement. So, and then they do their group work support sort of placement. But so it all, I mean, it's taking icebreakers and stuff in the group work.
Absolutely.
Along with an experienced member of staff. So it's all ties in. It's brilliant.
And it's something they know how to do.
Of course
it's
it
the
is.
First
yes.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing everybody learns how to do is to play.
And it doesn't have to be really complicated. It can be so
bloody
simple.
Oh my goodness.
And they can get stuck in there and have a ball.
Definitely.
That's great.
And leading sessions. Do you know, having young leaders leading sessions. And play is it's learning for the participants. It's also learning for those young leaders as well, because they have to plan the session, have to organise the resources, they have to facilitate
it, back on
and then they have to do that critical reflection. So it's a great process.
Brilliant.
It's simple plan,
absolutely,
do review,
and it's a reminder that our outcomes don't necessarily always have to be numbers and statistics, and
Now you said we're being positive. We're not allowed to open that can of worms.
But as long as those kids are smiling and laughing and having fun, well, then surely that's all that matters.
As long as they're learning.
Should be. Should be.
Should be.
That's no, we're not going to finish on a negative. We're going to finish on a positive.
That's for the next episode.
Yeah, I know.
Tune in.
What are you going to do to make yourself a more playful person with your grandchildren?
Oh, no. That's simple. Like, I had them out jumping in mud in the garden.
There we go.
Do you know, that is never a,
never an issue.
My daughter would go mental if she knew half the things I get up to with the grandchildren. Like, she would, we give them stink and I'd fill them full of ice cream and, do you know, like, we, but.
Full of sugar, away you go.
No, you know the value of the interaction. Mm-hmm. The facial expressions, you know, the smile, you know, the welcoming that they need to have. Mm-hmm. And it's all very, very basic stuff, but they don't need a whole lot.
No.
Do you know, like, at the minute it's having fun with anything that goes.
Yeah.
At the minute it's ripping our mummy's lovely big green flower thing that's in the corner where I'll bring him over and sit beside it so that he can pull the leaves. you have to touch something inside your mind that takes you to that childish fun environment. Do you know, because we're not
see, reflecting back, I wish I had. Oh, this sounds really deep, doesn't it? But I wish I knew now what I knew when my own daughter was.
Yeah.
You know, I would have had her outdoors more, playing more, you know, getting a bit dirty more. We just sort of like, well, now I love you, all right, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if I knew now, I'd have had her out walking the hills and getting stinking and doing all that sort of play stuff. But I'm not saying I completely kept her in the house all the time, but I would definitely encourage her when she was young to be out more outdoorsy and play more, do you know what I mean? But it's easy looking back, isn't it? But
there's still time to change.
Oh, she's 20. She lives in London now. She's 20, 24. So, yeah. She's a teacher now. She's an excellent teacher. Right?
Make
teacher
sure English she's getting drama, that so. Play message.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you very much
for
joining me and for being huge advocates for not only the Youth at Play programme, but for play in general across the youth service. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Pleasure.